Edcraft and Rizzo presenting The Truth.
All right, hello, welcome live here to Dread Radio. I'm Ed Kraft, along with Reap So, my partner in crime and chaos. What's up, Reap?
What's up? A lot of chaos this week, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man, you ain't kidding.
Some good chaos, though, too, so that's all right.
I don't know about that, man. I'm suffering. I'm in pain.
Oh, God, you're going to whine through the whole show now?
Yeah, I'm hurt. Man, between this friggin' remodeling and the damn VA and pulling teeth, wait a minute, I go in there for one thing, they find 50 other things, and they want to rip my teeth out. Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, the good news is there's a lot of good confirmation in the world of strange things. I tell you what, this has been a week on the move. You know? It's like, what is it? You trade one bad thing for one good thing, as they say?
Yeah. It's you know, the yin-yang thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's been like a world of great surprises this week. Very bad things happen. It's been like, you know, oh, wow. I just don't know where to start. You know, we've traded in so many, everything chaotic and bad this week. It seemed like it's traded in for something great. Yeah. I got this great email, rather than this great message I saw, which, by the way, came from you. You sent me this great thing. all the crap that I've taken for years and years from a certain somebody has finally been confirmed. You know, I've been out there preaching all this stuff, and you've been out there preaching all this stuff about one certain Mr. Robbie Thomas, yep. And it came straight from the horse's mouth this week from his own camp. In fact, his own former, quote, manager.
And best friend.
Yeah. Everything we've been saying has been confirmed publicly.
I love it when that happens.
I mean, I cannot believe it. You know, finally, it's such a relief that someone on the inside finally comes forward with the truth. And not only the truth, the real truth.
The real, ugly, nasty, pathetic truth, you mean. That's the whole story is finally. Bad.
In a way, it is. You know, you really, you know, here we sat, we talked about it, we've done it, we put it out there, but now that you hear it and you see it, it's more ugly than we even thought it was.
I know. That's what I was amazed when I was reading the statement. And it was amazing that I knew he was a jerk, but I didn't realize how complete of a jerk he was. I mean, the guy going off to meet his mistress in Iowa and leaving John Ramsey's to try and keep his little tour together, and John Ramsey's using his credit card, his dad's credit card, to pay for Robbie's bills. And then when they finally do go separate ways, John asks Robbie, well, what about this credit card bill? And Robbie says, hey, that's your debt, not mine, you know?
Oh, I knew about that side, Robbie, from years back.
No, but it was just shocking to hear it.
But the fact that, you know, we made a phone call when I called into your show on Reapso Radio, which is Tuesday nights, on Reap Radio, reapradio.net, and of course on Jackalope 105, who of course are our sponsors here.
Yes,
on
yes, we gotta say that. We're glad to be on Jackalope.
You're on Tuesday nights, and I called in one night. We had Bobby Zolar on, and we called into we called his house, and of course his wife answered that phone, and I. You know, we all played around that night, but she was such a sweet lady. She really sounded like a sweet, honest lady.
She did. I know.
And that makes me feel even worse. I feel bad now. I really feel bad after talking to her because she's so sincere.
I know.
You know, and it really hurts my heart to know that he did that to her after talking with her.
Yeah, you know what else is interesting is the fact that Robbie's visa isn't a working visa. And he's been doing all his work in the United States under the table. I think I might be wrong, but I think that's against the frickin' law.
Well, and I told you the story about the, he's always ragged me about sending that stuff for the charity campaign I tried to pull off.
Yeah.
And it didn't go through. And he always complained about the poster. I got the books, I got the other stuff he sent, but the poster never came through. He's always worried about that poster.
Yeah, I think he has a poster fetish, because there was a girl that John Ramsey was talking about that Robbie was upset because she didn't hang enough posters. And another kind of sad part was, I guess this lady had a friend who had a daughter or a kid who was trying to get through cancer, so she'd be shaving her head to try and help, you know, raise money for this. And Robbie got mad. They raised $700. Robbie got mad at John Ramsey's because they raised $700 for this girl who had cancer, but he couldn't raise any money for Robbie's tour.
Oh, yeah, that was in the thing, too.
Yeah.
That just really, you know, he's all about what he can do for charity and how love and light he is.
Yeah.
And here he is bashing this poor individual for not raising enough money, and here she's shaving her head. You know, I don't see, well, Robbie, of course, has no hair to shave, but for crying out loud.
You know.
How can he dare do that?
You know his real name is Robbie Poulton, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah, that was another thing he put out there. That's not even his real name he's been, you know, putting out there to the public. Not to mention, what was his anthrax scare turned out to be just the fact that he wasn't selling enough tickets.
Yeah.
And people put it out at his, you know, he claimed there was a big scare at his one of his venues.
The one in Sarnia, yeah.
Sarnia, yeah. That's his hometown, is it not?
Yeah, that's his hometown. And Sarnia Skeptic was the one that was at that little event. He's the one who was passing out the envelopes. He's a guy who's been working on this. Got to give him kudos, too. He's been fighting this Robbie Thomas thing even more than either one of us have, actually, because he's in Robbie's hometown. Guy's bright too. We had him on the show before too, so he's a good guy.
He just, people like that are the ones you have to contribute to, because they have really, you got to give them their props, because it's thanks to people like that who are standing up that have brought this man out in the public and said, look, we're tired of this fraud.
Yeah.
And enough is enough. And of course the family of the victims.
Yeah.
And that's what really gets you, is when the victim's family come forward, and, you know, I'm not even going to mention their names, because, you know, they asked to be left out of the whole situation, and what really ticks me off is even Robbie refused to do it.
I know.
He still wanted to exploit this particular family's name.
He's got nothing else. Over again. You know what I mean? He's got nothing else. That's his whole problem. He's got nothing.
Well, he's preyed off of so many victims' families, and many of them stand by and ask him to do nothing, yet, you know, he continues to do it.
I'll tell you what.
I put out a video a while back where he actually stood there on, a local network, and the network went around and asked the police department, was he involved? They didn't know who the hell he was.
And they asked the family, too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, none of these people knew who he was, yet he still... And as well as the people who were putting on the local paranormal event said they had all contacted the police and the families. None of these people knew who the hell he was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Because he thinks he's famous, but he's not. He's trying,
I think his ticket sales show that, though. What was it in Sarnia, 9 tickets?
No, it was they had 40 in Sarnia, and then the next event had 9.
Yeah, well, we were going to go to the one here in San Francisco, but that got canceled because they were worried about the one in L.A.
Yeah.
And I think it had one. I think that was the one with 9 tickets.
Yeah.
And it was pretty ridiculous, you know.
Shannon Sylvia sent me an email saying that she was disgusted with Robbie's behavior and that she wanted, you know, she was not going to appear at his events. And I forwarded that to Robbie Thomas. And then Shannon emailed me again this morning saying that she got a reply from Robbie Thomas, and all she said was, I got a reply from Robbie Thomas about the emails we exchanged. Wow. Then I hear from Sarnia Skeptic that Robbie is now claiming that the, and I am not joking about this, the U.S. government is trying to shut him down because they don't want him to use his abilities. So they are launching a campaign to turn his friends against him and to drum up things like the statement to try and keep him from using his powers.
What is he, Superman and the U.S. government kryptonite?
That's what I was thinking, is why doesn't the government just get some kryptonite and just, like, you know, shut Robbie down? Why would they go to all this trouble, you know? I know they haven't contacted me, and I don't know, I feel like I've been kind of helpful. But...
God almighty!
You know, if I'm going to work for the government, I want someone to get a check, you know? If it's going to be all government work, I'm not, you know, I'm not against doing it. It'd be kind of fun, but at least, you know, they haven't paid
I guess it has nothing to do with the fact that the man hangs around with, you know, cheats on his wife and spends other people's money and, you know, doesn't fill up his bookings. And
has anger management problems.
And yeah. He calls everybody, you know, claims, well, as he did to me, I don't need you because at this point in my fabulous career.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, actually.
Oh, yeah, I love that one.
Well, he told me he was going to make me look like the idiot that I am, so...
If I had the ego that this guy's got, you know, there would be a God.
Yeah.
You know? It would be me.
The chat room is asking, holy crap, where does Robbie come up with this stuff? I don't know. But yeah. It's, and, you know, the anthrax thing. And, you know, what was really sad is John Ramsey's, his son actually was sick. But Robbie, it made it sound like Robbie had an illness in his family, or he actually gave an incorrect statement saying Robbie had an illness in his family when he didn't.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I've had to take the gauze out of my mouth, folks.
Please take the gauze out of your mouth. It's always good for a talk.
If I seem to be mumbling at times, just because I'm putting gauze in and out of my mouth there.
I'm used to you mumbling. It's okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I am in pain here, folks. But anyway, and hello to Carly. Carly, I see you just popped into the room. Hello. But where was I going with this? I got distracted with that. But when it comes to him, he has a tendency to over-exaggerate things. That he claimed that this whole thing had to do with his illness originally. And the point was that it was not his illness. It was his manager's illness, his manager's son's illness, and his manager's son made that clear, that it was his son's illness and that he wanted to make it his son's illness publicly. Well, that's not what happened. Robbie took it over as his illness and made it that excuse.
Yep.
And that to me was wrong, because his manager has an autistic son. And that to me is very offensive. You know, anyone who is disabled, and you know where I stand on that issue, you know where I stand on disability in particular. I face it, Lisa faces it, you have a son, we all, you know where I stand on that issue.
Yeah.
Anyone who takes advantage of anyone with a disability to use it for their own goals and aims really ticks me off.
Yeah.
And the way that he turned that around and used it and then had the nerve to come back and treat him the way he did and claim that he was going to tell people publicly that he abused his child.
I know, man. That is low.
Well, yeah. Not only is that low, I mean, you know, that rang a bell to me, too, because of the way he treated you and your son.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy who's all love and light, and he had the nerve to do those things.
Yeah, that's quite a threat.
You know, I just, when I read those things, it just really turned my stomach. How do you do that? How do you deal with that, you know?
Yeah, I know. And then, man, this story just gets worse and worse. He steals John Ramsey's website domain that John Ramsey's actually didn't create to promote Robbie Thomas. He got it for his daughter because his daughter has, you know, pursues musical interests. So Robbie steals the dude's domain name. And redirects it to his own new Psychic Justice Tour webpage.
Huh.
I know. You know, one interesting side note is, I don't know if I've been blocked because I tried to join and Robbie kept kicking me off, but I can't find his Psychic Justice fan page anymore.
Well, Psychic Justice Tour, or Psychic Justice, if I understand it correctly, doesn't even belong to him. The name itself doesn't even belong to him.
Yeah, I don't know. I
There's some legal questions over who that belongs to. But then again, that's a Canadian issue, not even a U.S. issue. And I don't know about Canadian law.
No, me either.
You know, I know that they're claiming that you can sue people over this and that, but you have to remember that they're doing it between Canada and the U.S. I know in the U.S. it's very difficult to prove a lot of the things that they're saying you can prove in Canada, but there's all that whole back and forth crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know when I tried to do it here, my attorney flat out said, you just can't do it because it costs you a fortune. And yes, you can, and you can win, but it takes you too much money to do it.
That's what Robbie was coming up on John Ramsey to sue all of us, you know.
Yeah, you just can't, you can't do it.
It would have been fun to see him try, you know. It's not like we were lying about him.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. It takes proof. The burden of proof is on the plaintiff, not on the defendant.
Yeah.
And I really, after looking at that, think that... you know, there really is no proof on his part. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Looking back at it, I think he might have overstepped his bounds.
He stepped in the wrong friggin' yard. Is what happened with
him. Yeah, you know, it's like a dog and shitting in your own yard.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta watch where you walk. Point blank.
Yep.
The fact that he pulled all that, it just, you know, looking back over the years and how it. How he, you know, I watched him back when he, Alan and I do not, you know, after Alan Rutnick screwed me over so bad.
Yeah.
But there was a time when we were working on this conference, and that's back long before he ever got involved with conferences. Robbie Thomas, we're talking about now. He jumped in and jumped on this whole promotion at a place we were supposed to go with. And this had him involved with Brian Leffler.
Oh, yeah.
Was going with my was a co-host with me at the time.
Is that how the we lost. Did Brian Harnois have something to do with that too?
I don't remember at the time.
Because I talked to him on the phone this week, and he was telling me about an event that had to do with Leffler. And
I think that might have been later on.
Oh, okay.
I think that was the one where Brian Leffler grabbed the money around.
Oh, yeah, you might be right. For the record, Brian Harnois is a cool dude. I like him.
Yeah, I love Brian. Yeah. Brian's a good guy. He just happens to fall in with the wrong crowd.
That's what guy. He dodged a bullet when he didn't even go into that event that we were talking about. So he dodged that bullet, and then he actually got unassociated with Robbie Thomas, too, so he dodged another bullet. So he, you know.
Yeah, he always, you know, it's like, what's it? He just keeps getting stuck with the wrong people. And I think he's just, I don't know. He's always in the wrong place at the wrong, I don't know. The poor guy, he's got such a good heart. I think he's just... I Brian is a great guy.
I like him, man.
Yeah, I really do. Brian is a great guy. He just... You believe anything in... What is it? Your heart in your sleeve. You know, you trust people. And for some reason, I think everybody in this field knows that. And they just take such advantage of him.
Yeah.
You know, I really love and trust the guy. And, you know, I wish people would... do him right for once. That's all I got to say about that. You know, I'm just tired of seeing him get screwed over and over again. Yeah. But
so, anyways, you're talking about the event with Alan, and sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Anyway, we had this thing in a battleship or something going on, and Brian was still co-hosting with me. That's back when he started, long before anybody thought he was somebody. He was still co-hosting with me way back then. I imagine why he comes on. And actually, Robbie Thomas got pissed off because, you know, we wanted him to come to this event or what. So he jumps in and says that, oh, we're going to go host our own event at this battleship first. Huh. And the reason was Brian was pissed off that he could not be a part of our upcoming network, which, as you know, you were on. We did not want to allow Brian to invest in that network.
Wow.
And he got pissed. He drives Robbie into it, and Robbie says, screw you, we'll invest in your network. So he sets up his own little separate thing, and guess what? Robbie doesn't do anything to invest in that, and he gets pulled along. Just same scenario. He doesn't invest any of his money, just put up and shut up. He drags everybody along, everybody puts in their funds, and gets screwed along the way. You know, that all turned out to be everybody's money but his.
Yeah, that seems to be his M.O.
Well, same thing, you know, same time, same bad channel, but
I know Robbie used to love, like, he would put his page on social networks. Like, he joined my Ing, the Reap Radio Ing site, and put up all his crap selling himself. And then he never had any input on the site at all, you know. And the site's kind of dead now anyways, but back then there was, like, people posting, and he never had any input, so I kicked his ass off or removed him.
Well, Ning is dead anyway, as far as I'm concerned. I watched
not even his name, man.
My site died. I went and put up another one to see if it was still alive. It wasn't, but they added this nice, neat little picture thing. So I keep mine open because I can just add pictures to all my other sites. So that's the only reason I keep it open. I can put all my pictures on there and they rotate through. It's kind of cool little feature, but it's kind of pointless to even keep those things open. I don't know. I'm just glad to see him finally come to his knees in terms of that. It's the newest thing is that he thinks he's like I don't know, impervious to anything else. But he's like Superman now. He thinks that the government's out to get him. He's got this kryptonite thing going on, and
it's pretty funny.
I just, it's always somebody else's fault, and that's what really has gotten to me. After all these years, there's always someone else to blame.
Yeah.
And I think that statement was made clear, too, in that letter that was put out. He always blames someone else. And statement was made very clear in that letter, which, by the way, was not a letter. It was a book.
Yeah, but, it was written well, though. Yeah.
You know, it was like, and what really got me was at the end of it, the documents were there to back up those statements.
I know.
It wasn't just, I'm saying this, and I'm calling you this, and I'm calling you. The facts were there, the emails were there, and it was all there in black and white.
Yeah, and credit to John for waiting to post it, too. He had it written earlier, but he waited to post it because he didn't want Robbie's kids and family to have to go through that during Easter, so he waited until after Easter to post it.
Yeah, and you have to respect a man who was dignified enough to do that. He did. You know, he was honest about it. You have to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Which is more than I think Robbie would have done for him.
Yeah.
To be honest.
My experience with him? Yeah, definitely.
I think Mr. Love and Light, if the shoe were on the other foot, would not have given him the same courtesy.
No, I don't see that happening.
You know, that's just the way I see it. Unfortunately. Let's see here. Wow. Time is ticking by already.
I know, man. Time goes by fast.
I'll tell you what. You want to take the break now before we get into the other idiot I want to get into? We also have a guest we're going to get on tonight before we get into the next subject. And we're going to talk a little about, because Robbie claims to be a remote viewer. That's one thing he does claim to do is remote viewing. But I'm going to tell you what. Before we get into what he does with remote viewing, I want to talk about one other guy and one other issue before we take a break and do that. Because it's really, you know, this guy is under my skin.
Yeah.
There's this little guy who's claiming to be a doctor, and I think I just lost my note, slipped on my thing. Where is this guy's thing? This doctor, what's his face?
Donald
something. Yeah, I wrote down another note. On my piece of paper.
Dr.
Donald Ryland. He's claiming to be a PhD, and he does metaphysics and claims to work on mind, body, and spirit. And I've questioned this guy numerous times as to, you know, what his PhD is. He claims to have a PhD from the University of this, University of that. And I looked up all of his Sedona. He claims University of Sedona, University of this, University of that. And I looked them all up. They're all online universities, quote, end quote. And none of them are real universities. They're all online, not even real study universities, online universities or trade schools or anything like that. They're just simply, pay me your $20, take this test, and you're in there.
Yeah.
Schools. He claims to have written a dissertation of 80-some-odd pages, and I kept on asking him, Yeah, how long did it take you to get your degree? And he kept avoiding the answer. He just kept telling me, I wrote a dissertation, I wrote a dissertation. But he will not tell me how long it took him to get his degree, his PhD.
You were getting pissed off at that guy.
Yeah, he just would not give me a freaking straight answer.
Yeah, I know. I dealt with him, too, like a couple weeks ago. And I had an issue. He posted a blog saying that that there was a statue on another planet, and it proved that there was life on Mars, another civilization on Mars. And it was from the Inquirer or some one of those rags, you know, it claims that like Elvis is actually a leprechaun living in Ireland right now, or those kind of magazines, you know.
Well, you know, Richard C. Hoagland dealt with a face on Mars, and
now this wasn't a face. This was about a statue, an actual statue. This wasn't that face. So
I've talked to Joe Farrell, you know, the Nazi UFO guy.
Yeah.
He works with Hoagland, the Mars guy.
Yeah.
Face on Mars guy. And he's agreed to try. I talked to him. He said he would help get Hoagland on the show with us.
Well, you know that.
So we'll bring that concept up with him.
You know that face has been debunked already, right? They got the high resolution photos, and there's no face there. The problem was pixelization. And when you have low pixelization, you see things just like that's why you see faces in a piece of toast, because it's low pixelization, you know, the images. So your brain wants to, you know, make.
Yeah, sense and Hoagland's come out with that. So, I mean, they're all square with that. So that's why I want to get them both on to do that. Because this guy is a complete idiot. These are real scientists who do the real research. And this guy has come out and says, oh, this is on there, that's on there. I mean, he says that the shiny stuff on the moon is alien life forms and this and that. He doesn't realize that we left all that crap up there with all our Apollo missions. You know, all the remainders of the spacecraft are still up there. And, yeah, they're reflective. They're freaking made out of aluminum.
We left things on the moon so that we can actually shoot lasers at it and gauge, you know, away.
Not only that, but we left part of the lunar landers up there.
I know, but we actually left disks, or not disks, but I think they're triangular pads on the moon so that with reflectors on them, so you can actually reflect the laser off the moon's surface.
Well, we left the damn marker up there that says, hello, men from Earth landed here on such and such a date. I mean, Christ, we left all kinds of crap up there. Give me a break, people. You know, it's not them. It's us. We did it. We left our trash there. Give me a break. And you people said we never went to the moon. Come on, all our crap's up there to prove it.
I know.
Some of the stuff just amazing. And this man claims to be a scientist. Oh, well, I used this and I did that. And it's like, how do you do that when you don't even use the scientific method?
I know.
You know? Oh, that stuff just irks the crap out of me. This guy claims, and he still won't, you know, give me. Okay, he claims to use the science of mind, body, and spirit. Okay, first of all, mind. This guy has no psychology degree, or, you know, okay, so how can he possibly have a PhD in working with the mind? Number one. Body, he has no medical degree, yet he's a PhD. And spirit, he has no theological degree. So, come on, how do you get all three of those?
I don't know. Good question.
This guy needs to reach down between his legs, pull his head out of his ass, and come up with some real answers. I mean, he can't even give me a straight answer as to how long it took him to get those. All he can say is, I wrote a dissertation. Well, I've written a dissertation too. It's called, I Got My Degree Online. So how many words was that?
Good night, Carly Rose. Be safe. Enjoy your time with your brother.
Yeah, take care, Carly. You know, I just don't get it. You know, this is what irks me, folks. I'm sorry to ramble on. I just can't stand people who misrepresent themselves and they claim to help others. This is the same thing that happened with Robbie. They come out there and they claim to be helping people, but this guy claims to help financially. He's going to tell you what to do in the stock market. This guy's pulling the same crap. He claims to know about UFOs, but he has no idea. You know, he was preaching this stuff. You mentioned the stuff on Mars. He was talking about how Zachariah Sitchin had knowledge about the 11th planet at one point. Well, guess what? At one time, Zachariah Sitchin was talking about a 10th planet. It only became the 11th planet after Pluto was reclassified. Neither of which, a 10th or 11th planet, could exist in the elliptical orbit because there's a frickin' asteroid belt out there. That's why we reclassified Pluto, dumbasses.
Should we take a break before your blood pressure goes off the scale?
Yeah, because my tooth is going to start bleeding. Yeah, let's take a break.
Alright, you're listening to Dread Radio, and Ed's going to take a couple deep breaths, I think. Are we going to call Lynn?
Yeah, we'll call it Lynn.
Okay.
That'll get me off my soapbox.
Okay.
Alright, we'll be right back.
Here's a little, I'm going to play a little Train of Consequences. I'll be right back. Listening to Dread Radio with myself, Reepso, and of course,
don't say it,
Whiny Craft.
And I knew that was coming.
And we have Lynn Buchanan on the line with us too. So glad to have him back.
Glad
how you doing, Lynn?
Thank you. Just doing great. trying to, you know, stay out of the wind and the sandblasting here in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Nice. You still staring at goats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was at the Trinity site this last weekend, and this woman came up, and she said, "I recognize you. You're Lynn, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, I just want to thank you for the work you're doing." And I said, "Oh, well, thank you. We, you know, we do the remote viewing for the police and all that." And her only concern was the goats. Sorry you have to kill those goats.
I know some farm boys are concerned about goats, but that's another story.
Yeah. It's a really nice woman. And, you know, she was here visiting and just happened to be at the same place at the same time. I'm surprised I got recognized at all.
You pretty much stand out in the crowd these days, you know.
Well,
you know, everybody talks about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to lose weight.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but since you brought it up, I've actually gained some myself. I just went to the VA, and you know, I've gained 30 pounds in 4 months.
Maybe you'll lose some now that you can't eat.
I don't know. Since you were over here the other weekend, I went to the other day, like I said, 2 days ago, and I didn't realize I gained that much since you were here. What was it, 2 weekends ago?
Maybe it was all that beer we drank.
Oh, man. We got a comment already, Lynn. The box is whack, of course, is saying, "I wonder if Lynn would stare at the cows in trees."
Oh, I didn't have to even bring it up. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate
it. Yeah. You know, there's this long-going thing between Reap and I as far as cattle mutilations. And I brought up one time there was a cow in a tree. Because, you know, one of my past guests brought up there was a cow 50 feet in a tree. And, of course, he's still ragging me about it, but he wants to know if you can remote view a cow in a tree.
I guess we could. It was already mutilated, or...
I have no idea. It's not my thing here. Anyway.
See, it's not mutilation. It's just that they fall from 50 feet out of a tree. And, you know, around here, I'd like to find a 50-foot tree.
I'd like to find a cow. We're sitting here on the water. I'd like to see a cow. I just watched that movie Van Helsing, and I saw one of these vampires take a cow... What is it, two stories up and drop it in somebody's window. So, hey, anything's possible.
Now that I can believe more than a cow in a tree.
But anyway, let's get back to the subject matter. We had this, we were talking earlier about how this certain individual, and we're not going to go there with you, but there's certain individuals who have been exposed as to what they claim is remote viewing or claim to use their... quote, end quote, psychic abilities to help other people and find missing children or lost loved ones. And they kind of get involved with families, and they're not always right. Like, and I will state names, but I don't want you to go there because I don't want to put you on the spotlight. But there are people like Robbie Thomas or perhaps... and they've been on shows like, Montel Williams, for instance, Sylvia Brown, caught on air, as being false when she says, "Oh, well, I feel your loved one as being in hit by something or shot in the chest." And the owner has come back and said, "No, they drowned." Right there on the air.
Yeah, saying they drowned and they were killed in 9/11.
Yeah. And Montel Williams just comes right back and says, "Oh, well, maybe she was just saying it was hurt in the chest." You know, and they try to bail themselves out. But you're a true controlled remote viewer. You work for the United States government. You know, you are a part of Project Stargate, a legitimate thing. Anyone doesn't believe that, they can look it up under Freedom of Information Act. This is a real project.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
So anyone out there listening, you think it's a fraud, you think Lynn is talking out at the right side of his ass or anything like that, look it up. You can go and spend your $20 and get it through Freedom of Information Act. This is the real deal.
In fact, it was one of seven. Stargate was one of seven names they called our project. You can also find it under Centerlane, Scan 8, well, several others. But you can find a lot of these on the internet too.
All right.
You know, you don't have to pay the money for it.
All right. Now, oh, no, Ed, it was Project Jedi. Get it right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Obi-Wan. Now, when you go out, you still work with the, you guys work with police, but you don't go out and do, this man claims to work with, and what we found is that most of the police departments don't even acknowledge his presence. But you guys don't go out and do that, do you? You don't charge police departments or even claim to work with them, do you?
We work with police departments, but we don't tell who. You know, a police department, if you, if someone says that they have worked for a police department, and they, especially if they say something like, oh, I solved the case and all this, they're either lying or they're telling the truth. If they're lying, then, you know, the minute they say, I solved the case and all this, the police are never going to work with them again. That's if they're telling the truth. If they're lying, then they're going to trip themselves up by saying things like, I worked with a family and I worked with, I did all these amazing things and all. And these are indicators that show that they're just talking garbage. If they did work with the police and they got on the radio or TV or something and started boasting about the work, and especially if they gave the police department's name, you can bet it would be the last time they ever worked with the police.
Yep. Hmm.
You know, in order for a police department to say yes or no, they have to go to their public affairs people, and the public affairs people, anytime it deals with psychics or remote viewing or anything, are going to say, don't say a word.
Yep.
And so, you know, there are a lot of people out there who can make all kinds of claims simply because the police department's, you know, not going to acknowledge or deny either way.
Well, you know, the federal government or the FBI has come out and said that not a single case has ever been solved by a psychic, as, you know, as far as they're concerned.
Yeah. People ask me, you know, how many cases have you solved? I tell them none. We have provided information which has helped the police solve cases. And they say, how many missing children have you brought home? I say, none. You know, I don't go out and get the kid, bring him home. And we have provided information which has helped the police do their job. You know, they threw it in the pot with all their other information, and they do their job, and they bring the missing kids home. So when the FBI says, you know, with the FBI, it's like any government agency. You have to watch the words. When they say that no case has ever been solved by a psychic, they're telling the truth. Have they ever worked with a psychic to solve a case? That's a totally different wording, and that's a totally different thing. The FBI works with a woman named Pam Coronado quite often, and she provides them information, and it has been very valuable for them to solve in many cases.
You still there, Ed?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you distracted by a shiny thing, or is your tooth falling out?
No, I'm just about to run to get some gauze. I was going to try to get some cup for me.
All right.
I didn't know if I'd said something wrong or not there.
I know. I was like, I thought that was cool. I was kind of waiting for...
sneak away during the conversation to get some gauze, but...
Yeah, you got to say something, you know?
Okay, so much for my cover.
Well, you know what? Your plan for cover wasn't real thought out.
I tried to snake it. But anyway, what I'd like to know, though, Lynn, is when you do what you do, and you know, you've done a great job of explaining how working with police departments, that the police do not usually acknowledge, you know, the work. When someone comes out and they say, I have solved a case, I have solved multiple cases, and they use the family's names, does a real controlled remote viewer use names to benefit themselves?
Controlled remote viewer, absolutely not. A remote viewer, which means any form of psychic functioning, a remote viewer may come out and use names. They're not smart if they do. You know, my question, I think, would have to be, if they're doing good and doing a good job, why do they need somebody's approval for it? You know, we do a lot of good work, and we try to get the bad people off the streets and the good people home again. Once we've accomplished something like that, then we're happy. And the only acknowledgement we ever ask for from a police department is either one of their baseball hats for each of the viewers or one of their coffee cups.
Not bragging and, rights, right?
You know, it's something that you can sit on your shelf at home and you can look up and you can know, hey, I did a good job.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go out and beat your chest and blow trumpets and all that for the public. What is it you're really after?
Yeah. I've always thought that if you had to brag, you couldn't be that great, you know?
Well, yeah, if you're truly great... If you're truly great, somebody else is going to brag on you.
Yeah, exactly. Brag for you, exactly. Couldn't agree
and,
more.
And, you know, people want to be famous, and I guess they chase fame and everything, but, you know, I've always said that when your name hits the front page, that's just a flash in the pan.
Yep.
When your name gets in the newspaper on a regular basis, that's either notoriety or, you know, public knowledge. But you're not truly famous until your name winds up in the crossword puzzle anyway.
That's right. And just knowing that your own actions, you know, have been true, that's good enough. It should be good enough.
Well, it should be, yeah. Uh-huh.
You'd think.
Now, well, you would think, yeah. Some people just need that glory, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like they need to be validated. They're trying to validate themselves, you know, and sometimes it makes them, even though their actions are questionable, they just like to see their name mentioned or see their name every time they click their mouse button or open their email. You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. And, you know, I did an ego search on Yahoo the other day, and there were, I don't know how many thousand references to me, not all of them good, by the way, but you know, for a person who's spent their entire life in intelligence service trying not to be known and you know and trying to blend in, and
it's ironic,
and
isn't it?
It really is, yeah. It's kind of scary, in fact.
Well, you're pretty scary as it is.
Well, I try to lose weight.
All right, you keep going back to the weight issue. Let's stay off of that for a while.
Yeah.
You did start it, Ed, to be fair. You did start it.
No, he brought up the weight issue. Do you want me to bring up the bald issue?
I don't, what, with me?
Yeah.
What, I shaved my head. I'm bald on purpose.
I'll see you when it grows out. So what's of course, you see me, and I keep mine. That shit.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people out there who, you know, I think probably have some psychic ability or a lot of psychic ability, and they want to help bring kids home and, you know, missing people and all. And when you go to work for the family, I mean, it puts the family on an emotional roller coaster. Every time you tell them something, they're highs, you know, their emotional high is there, and they're excited and everything, and then they go to the police, and the police won't do anything, or else it doesn't work out for some reason or another, and all of a sudden they just crash down into the deep low, and,
yeah.
And you know, if anybody wants to work as a psychic or as a remote viewer, never, ever work for the family. I mean, it'll kill the family. It really will.
So, do you think that, and in all honesty, should a quote unquote remote viewer / psychic, any of the above, ever get involved directly with the family, or play the role of counselor? Because that's what many of these people do.
No, absolutely not. I know a lot of people want to go in and save the world, you know. A lot of people come to me for training, and they'll say, well, I want to find missing kids. And, you know, I warn them, the missing kids you're trying to find, you're going to be mentally getting very close to these kids, and some of them have been raped and murdered and dismembered, and you know, you ought to think twice before you go into something like this.
Well, would you advise that anyone who wants to do this kind of thing do get some type of psychological or counseling, counseling training? If they want to do this for other people, would you suggest they get involved with some kind of type of training to, you know, help counsel others or that type of thing?
I don't think it should be relevant simply because they should not work with the family.
Great.
It's really destructive. Even if the family takes it okay, when the police don't do something fast enough because they've got 50 other cases they're working to, the family will go out and trample crime scenes. You don't work with the family ever.
And I think that's pretty clear. That's what I wanted to get to. What I'm trying to do here is get to the nuts and bolts of it and make it abundantly clear that there is no angle that you can get to that does not come down to that bottom line. Don't work with the family. Because a lot of people out there are going to listen to it that, you know, they're going to come to it from this angle, that angle, or the other angle. And they're going to say, well, you can get counseling and still work with the family, or you can do this and you can do that. The bottom line is still going to remain the same. Just don't do it.
Yeah, that's right. And, I'll get a call from a family, and I'll tell them to go through the police. And if the police won't work with me, then the information we provide won't do any good anyway. And so when I do work with, you know, they get in touch with the police contact me, we work with the police, we'll have the family calling all the time. Well, what'd you find? And we won't tell them. And so they think, you know, that we're the bad guys, we're hiding information from them. They always think the worst. They get mad at you, they cuss you out and everything else. You still cannot work with the family. Can't do it. And, when the case is solved, then they call, then they're happy with you again, you know. And, well, I think I said once before, one of the hardest things for me to actually deal with is when we find a missing kid dead and, brutalized, and the family comes and thanks you for finding them. And that's a very hard moment for me.
Yeah, I'd say it would be.
Well, what really tears me up is I've watched so many of these people come on, and I've seen people, and I'm going to be honest. I was sitting there the night years ago, when I think it was probably about the same time I had the first conversation with you, if I remember back around 84 or 85 or something like that. Just prior to or after that, Sylvia Brown was on with Art Bell or George Nuri. I can't remember whether it was Art Bell or George Nuri, but she was on there, and the miners, it was like 12 miners trapped out.
Oh, God, she's an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the year, but she was on the air at the time. And she said, oh, they're all doing well. They're all alive. And she was telling the family members on the air. And there were some of them calling in, can you tell us how they're... And what was it? What was interesting was George or Art had already had the answer. They'd already gotten the news, and they were just keeping it quiet for a minute or two. They'd already gotten the news built via AP Press, and they were just holding on to it for like seconds. And she, because they just asked the question, and she said, "Oh, they're doing great. They'll be alive." And it was like 2 seconds later, they said, "We just got the news. They're dead."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And wham.
God, she's a bitch. I hate her.
I guess that was point blank. But, you know, how can people do that to other people, number one? Have you ever had a situation where something like that has happened to you, when you're off key and you get it wrong? How do you deal with that? And you have to be honest with that.
Well, you have to be honest, yeah. And, you know, you have to say, "I was wrong." And you'll find that a lot of people will start making excuses for you. And you have to be dedicated to the truth well enough to say, "No, I was wrong. Give me the right to be wrong, because I can learn something from it." And I know there's another remote viewer from our military unit who was never a remote viewer in the unit, but he was an admin officer, and he's out there doing all kinds of projects and everything, and messes up quite a few of them, actually. And the way he deals with being wrong is he just ignores it and goes on to the next hyperclaim, and acts as though nothing ever happened. And amazingly enough, the public lets him get away with it. So, if he were back in the unit, we'd never let him get away with it.
Well, I think we know who you're talking about, but that's subject for another show. We're running out of time, Glenn. I got to thank you. We're down to the bottom wire here. Any final quick comments? Because how much time we got left, Reed?
We got like 3 minutes. Yeah, we can just play the outro song. Yeah, we're cool.
Okay. Any last comments, Lynn?
I think that when you're dealing with remote viewers and psychics, you still have to be paying attention to that old saw that says, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, amen to
that. There are a lot of people who make claims, "I can do this, I can do that, I can do the other," and all that. If you find a person who is really honest about it, generally the best they'll say is, "I can try." Because, nobody's perfect. Even the best controlled remote viewers in the world get this wrong. And, all you can do is you can say, "Well, I care and I can try." But when you say that to a family member, say, "I'll try through the police." Never, ever work for the family.
Great advice.
Yep.
And, again, you said it best when you said, what you said, but always remember, extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. That sums it
actually
up.
Actually, they don't. Actually, they don't. They require the same proof as everything else. But
I stand corrected.
Proof is proof.
But proof is proof. They do require proof. Yeah.
Well, if you're making extraordinary claims, you better be able to back it up with something.
Well, that's it. You know,
it's probably going to take extraordinary proof.
You want to show me a UFO? You better be willing to. If you're going to claim a UFO, you better be willing to present one or give me some evidence. It's pretty outstanding.
Yeah, that applies to cows and trees, too.
That goes in everything. I have been fighting with Windows 7 for the last 2 weeks, and, I would like to see some extraordinary proof there, too, because it's making claims that I'm just not getting. I was with Stanton Friedman up at the Aztec UFO Festival this last week, and really interesting guy. He's nuclear physicist. Really
right.
Interesting. Well, great guy. Really together guy, yeah.
All right, man, we got about 30 seconds, so we got to wrap this up. I'm sorry,
man,
to cut you off so soon. But we got to cut you off here.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks so much,
Lynn.
I want to thank all the listeners out there. And
Jackalope Radio 105 FM, thank you. And we got to wrap this up. This has been Dread Radio. We're like, yeah, done. Say goodnight.
Yeah, take care, guys.
And I'm going to wrap up. I know people are listening on the ReapRadio.net feed, so I'm going to wrap things up with some Alice in Chains.
Good talking to you.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Don't concern yourselves and just give it all the blood. Yeah. Under the hill, which is a few notches on my belt. Take it away, yeah. I don't want no more. But even if you say just one more. Chocolate, baby!